Rish Lakish Amar, which is Torah to the top. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar. Five lines down. Yeah, your next page. Chaf Avam Beis. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar. Afilu Chaver Shishiach Chaver. Tzarech Laaser. If a chaver sent to another chaver, the recipient has to take off ma'aser. Okay, they sent this fruit, which is this type of fruit which you're allowed to send without ma'asering. So even one chaver sends to another chaver, the recipient has to ma'aser. Chevraya boya, and so the chevra asked, Nicha amoretz choshed, how can you say this? And amoretz is suspect to send stuff which is not tight. Chaver mi choshed is a tam chacham suspect to send stuff which is not tight. So says more Am Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, "V'chi amoret l'gabei truma lav kechaveru." You didn't pay attention with what we learned previously, what we learned yesterday. It says there that not only do you have to take off ma'aser of that which you receive, but even truma. There's no amoret in the days of Chazal didn't at least take off truma. So therefore, it must be that in these areas, you don't have to take off anything, whether you're a chaver or an amoretz. Because if there was a differentiation between amoretz and chaver, so it'd say that you always have to take off ma'aser, but you don't have to take off truma. Right? But by virtue of the fact that the recipient also takes off truma, it's clear that in certain commodities, chazal were matir, sending them without taking truma off. So that's what Gemara says. Elakini, this is the way to understand it. The minhag became, and this minhag is apicha chomi. The certain minhag where it says shekein nagu bnei adam, where Chazal agreed, like there's says Gemara in Brachos, the Kavanah brings down, where very well known Gemara that says that we're knowing in certain things like halachas. I forget what they are now. By Israel Chaim and Keva, by Rashi's Hages, by the Matnas Kahuna, that the Velt was knowing not to give it to Kohanim because the Kohanim have to prove that they're actually Kohanim. We don't give Rashi's Hages and Israel Chaim and Keva. And there's another one of that sort. So it says there that Nagu not to do it. The Nagu there was with rabbinic sanction. So to hear this, that there are certain commodities which are sent from friend to friend without taking up truma sumaisris, it's with a rabbinic sanction and applies equally whether the sender is an amoretz or a talmid chacham. He's not required to take off truma sumaisris in these specific commodities, which we mentioned yesterday, which is stuff which is, what were they? Kinds of olives. And which are going to be pressed and haven't yet been pressed, and onions or any other type of bulb which is made to replant, and flax with seeds in it. So all these things, since they're not gemar melacha, Chazal allowed them to be sent without taking truma sumaisa of them, even if a chaver is sending to a chaver. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. The beginning of the perek. Chaf Alfa Amralf, second line. Ha'oker levis utznonos mitoch shalom. Some of you uproots turnips and radishes from in their yard, v'notech toshlo, and replants it in another part of their yard, lezera, for the purpose of seeds, chayev, l'shum neishu garden. He's got to take up trumas ma'aser before replants them. Now, yesterday I told you, I didn't understand the Gemara we learned yesterday, because the Gemara differentiates between where you take grain and replant it, where you're not chayav to give trumas ma'aser before you replant it, where as opposed to here, where you take the bulbs, you take turnips and radishes and replant them, where you do have to take trumas ma'aser before you replant them. Before, yes, I didn't understand it. Today, I do understand it. The reason is because the levis and snonos, when you plant them, you're planting them that next time around they should grow seeds. And seeds are exempt from trumas ma'aseres. So that's it. Now when you replant them, you're going to lose their chiv and trumas ma'aseres. You're lost. That's why before you replant them, you have to take advantage of the fact that they're now still food. and take trumas and maisis off of them. As opposed to the grain, when you replant them, it might, or you're planting a seed or something else. That's what chitim are. They're two different types. They're not two different types of plants. When you plant turnips and radishes, when you want to use them as seeds, they look different. They're harder. They're not edible. As opposed to when you cultivate them for food. So therefore, you're replanting the zera, it's going to lose its status food. Therefore, you have to chaparayin. You have to take advantage before you replant it to take off trumas and maisis now for the kohanim and levim. But in the case of the other man, the case of the grain. Grain is grain. There's no difference in grain planted for seed or grain planted not for seed. So therefore, you don't have to take trumas and maisis off before you replant it. You can replant it and then take trumas and maisis off of it after it grows. Okay? So that's what he says here. Ibn Eshu Chayiv, you're Chayiv now, Ibn Eshu Gorin, because this is now the Gorin, this is now the time of Chayiv. Let's go to the Gemara. Tanya, we learned. Ha'oker Shesolim. Where is it in here? You don't have this. What's going on here?
Our next thing is Malav Shnei Ben
Zera. Okay, so he has a whole brice here which comes before your Gemara. Okay, Tanya. Okay, just listen to me for I'll tell you when I finish reading. Tanya, okay, just let me talk to you. Somebody uproots vegetable of bulbs or any other vegetable which is made for planting. Yeah, we say I call them saplings, but I'm afraid in retrospect that was misleading. It's not saplings of a tree. It's vegetable shoots, okay? Bulbs or any other shoot, you know, which you're going to replant. So, if you uproot vegetables from within your yard, liton to replant them, lizera. And the second time around, you're just going to grow seeds. Ol hefker. The second time around, you're going to be mafkir them. And of course, hefker is exempt from trumas and maisis. Ol chutzlar. The second time around, you're going to grow them in chutzlar. It's on Eretz Yisrael. Ol machan lagoy. Or the second time around, when they grow, you're going to sell them to a goy. Hareiz a chayiv laiser. Before you replant them, you have to take maaser off them. Why is that? B'mnei motzim day maaser. Because if you now by replanting them, you're going to exempt. Excuse me, as I tried to explain before, you're going to exempt them from trumas and maisers. So you have to chaparayin, you have to take advantage while it's still chayiv and trumas and maisers, while it's still considered food, and take off the trumas and maisers now. Okay? Now, you now, v'lo shanya, picking up where you have it inside, v'lo shanya, this is by the little bays with the little asterisk, about halfway down the page, 8 lines to the bottom. 9 lines to the bottom. Lo shani ben lazera ben lehefker. Wait a minute. It doesn't matter what you're replanting for. If you're replanting for seed or replanting for the purpose of hefker, but is there no difference? The tamatanina that we learn over there. Loyal munaisim shumpeo. Anybody whose heart.
He takes
up chutzlars and puts it later. He cut and pasted later on. Okay, Tamtina Lola Munaisi Mishum Peo Potsimina Maestros. He's going to, a guy in a regular field, he can give as much pay as he wants, right? We said you can make most of your field pay as long as you leave something over. You make a pay. Potsimina Maestros can keep on exempting all your grain from Maestro, because pay is exempt from Maestro. Achimerech. Until, of course, you get some sort of pile, right? And make a miruach. A smooth pile. Viko atamarachain. So here, there we don't find a guy who wants to make stuff hefker. Gesundheit, let him make it hefker. And let it exempt it from maestros. Why over here are you making the guy such a pain? You're saying he wants to replant it for the purpose of making hefker. He's got to take a trumas and maestros beforehand. There we let a guy get away with making stuff paya. Or hefker. Same idea. He does have to take up trumas and maestros.
But here he's retaining possession.
How's he retaining possession?
Even if it's chutzlar, he's still retaining possession of the.
Only chutzlar, son, and now he makes it hefker and it's sold. That's one of the other cases.
Yeah, saying that there's a difference.
You're correct about the case in Chutz Laaretz. We're going to talk about that. But the case where he replants it and makes it hefker the second time around. He plants it wild. Why in that case does he have to take a chumas from ice before he replants it? That's Gemara's kasha.
Because maybe he'll grab it back.
No, Gemara doesn't say that. I mean, it doesn't seem to be a chashash, because over there, in this brice that we just quoted, or Mishnah actually in Peah, says you can make as much as your land Peah or Hefker, and we're not afraid you're going to grab it back, and it's exempt from chumas from ice. So what's the difference? So it says, Tamanu mafkira kol. I'll tell you, very simple. There, the anim have constant and consistent access, right? Because you're continuously mafkir, right? But here, right now, they don't have access to what you have. In other words, what you're about to replant, you didn't make, it's not hefker. It's only after it grows you're making it hefker. So therefore, there we let you get away with it. We say, okay, you're mafkir, you're making payah, you're being mafkir. Isn't they, as long as you never asserted any ownership whatsoever. Is this what, there's something, no, you said the reverse. You said you're going to assert ownership later on. You're saying you have ownership on it now. In other words, before you plant it, it's yours.
No, I meant really for later on.
But right, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying right now it's yours, okay? Baramacha, who mafkir ala gidulin. What's he making hefker? Only after it grows, not now. So therefore, it's a two-stage process here. And that's why he's chayav trumas maisus now, because right now he hasn't yet been mafkir it. Later on, yes, but not now. So therefore, right now, we don't allow it to get away without taking up trumas maisus.
So right now you're growing in the Chutz
Laaretz? No, this is all in Eretz Yisrael still. There are two separate cases. One is being mafkir in Eretz Yisrael, and one is in Chutz
Laaretz. No, I'm talking about the next case.
All right, so let's see the next case.
The only problem with that is there isn't a time there on which you're high and trueless and nice, unless there's an action that you do. There's not a time. So here, so we're saying that before.
Yeah, but that's why the Mishnah emphasizes Mneshu Garnon. Would you pile them up together now with the intent of replanting? So even though this pile is not made for the purpose of Miruach in the classic sense, nonetheless, we give it the status of Miruach. Because the pile for replanting in this case, we fine you on. Okay? So says the Gemara, Vatani. Now the way the Gra touches this up, Vatani, Vatninon, it's a statement, not a question. Vatninon Chutz Laaretz. And the same thing, this is similar to the case of the Brites of Chutz Laaretz. It's in Chutz Laaretz also. Eventually it'll be exempt, that's right. But right now, where is it? It's in your possession, in the Holy Land, right? So therefore, right now, it's Chayev and Shumus Umaisis, right? And says the Gemara, Shani he ben ikar legidulin. By Chutz Laaretz and by Hefker and Arbraisa, there's no difference between. I mean, there is a difference. There is. Do you have Shani or you don't? Yeah. Shani ben Chutz Laaretz ben ikar legidulin. He throws in. He takes out the word Chutz Laaretz, but it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. Shani ben Chutz Laaretz ben ikar legidulin. By Chutz Laaretz and by Hefker, the same thing. Yes, that which grows later on is going to be Hefker. But right now, the Ikar, that's yours. You're keeping it in your backyard. As opposed to Ka, now everybody has grave guilt of difficulties with the word Ka, which means Hacha. But I don't know. I'm surprised they have difficulties because we all know in Yerushalmi, what does Hacha very often mean? There. Right. So here it means there. Here he means there. Hachalo shania ben ikar legidulin. There in Peah, where it discusses the hefker or the Peah, there's no difference between the primary growth and that which is growing afterwards. Whatever you have, you're mafkir on the spot. In other words, here we want to make it hefker later on when it grows again. But right now, what is it? Yours. So that's why we're mechayvim in Trumas Maisos night right now. There in Peah, as it grows. You're mafkir it. There's no something later on which you're going to be mafkir. This right now in your field, you're mafkir. So that's why there, they didn't find you and say, take Trumas Umaisis off at any other stage, because there are no two stages to talk about. So therefore, it's not relevant to that case. Okay? Is that clear so far? You have no idea. It's a great length here. I don't know. It's pretty easy. Okay, I'll die to Rav Shimon Lakish. According to Rav Shimon Lakish, Omar. Tevel Batel Barov. Now, this is a sugya which we have not had yet really had. There was mentioned in passing in Trumos, but it's going to come up much more detail in Chala. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says Tevel is Batel Barov. If you have Tevel, it gets canceled by being a majority of something else. So here, we have a general principle, everything which you can rectify, so we never rely on bittul. So Tevel is Davar Shishlo Matirin, right? Because you can rectify it. You just take off Trumas from Meisers. So it's never Batel, right? So, but Reish Lakish holds it is Batel. Atat Reishim and Lakish Amar Tevel Batel Barov holds Tevel is canceled by majority. Nicha. I understand what's going on here. Meaning that later on it's going to be Hefker, right? It's going to be Hefker. The Hefker is going to cancel the Tevel, so you don't take off the Trumas of Mises is losing, because you won't take off Trumas of Mises later on. El Adaitid Rabbi Yochan McCoyne, Rabbi Yechanon, Duamar, who said, Ain't Tevel, but Ain't a Tevel, but to Barov. Tevel is never but to Barov. So what's the difference if it grows into Hefker? Yamti Dat Shiakti, let him wait till it grows, and let it become Hefker. The Yaisel Fikulo, let him take off Miser. Now here it says the Fikulo, it's a little bit of a problem. Why he shouldn't have to take off Meiser on all the Hefker, shouldn't have to take off Meiser on the proportional amount of what was previously the Chayiv, you know. Let's say he planted 5 bushels of turnips and he got 50 bushels, he should only have to take Meiser off the 5 bushels, not off the 50. But it seems like it's a chumrah. I don't understand exactly how the chumrah works, but since we don't know where the 5 bushels he planted is among the 50, so we make him take off from all 50. But the bottom line is, so let him take off, let him plant the tevel. The tevel's not bought, so he'll take off later on. He'll tithe it. So says the Gemara, Oh, Neymar, Tapachah Beisam Ralph, now, Mapli Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. He's got something different here. Not very different. He just throws in the following words. Onemar ki Rabbi Ba. I guess he had Rabbi Abba saying this. Rabbi Ba. Ma pligin. Now pick it up again. Ma pligin. Where they argue Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish betevel shnit ba dvar Torah. By tevel which is tevel do raisa. Avo betevel shnit ba medivrein ba tevel which is only tevel de rabbonon. Kol amamoide, everybody can see it's shot. Tevel bata barov, that tevel is canceled by majority. And here we're dealing with tevel durabon. Now, why is this tevel durabon in here? It's a trick question. Let's see if you can come with a reason. The partial reason. Why is this tevel durabon in? Because it's vegetables. That's what the Rosh Hashanah says. Because it's vegetables. The problem is it's going to run into problems later on. It's not going to work later in the sugya. So there, the Kavanoki says, it's not really tevel durabon. It means stuff which is not nigmaram malachdo. Wasn't completed, because before you planted it, you never fully completed the harvest process, because you had in mind already before you completed the process to replant it. So it's never nigmar malachto. So he says what it means is that stuff which is not nigmar malachto is batel barov. Now that's not real tevel, because when the stuff become real tevel, only after gemar malacha, right? So it's a paradox. We're saying tevel midrabanan about something which never really became tevel. But that's okay. That's what they mean by tevel midrabanan here. Something which the rabbi said is a problem. That's really in a broad brushstroke what we're talking about here. So it says the Gemara, again, Ava tevel shenipa divrein by tevel which is the rabbanan, kol amamaydin, everybody can see it, shatevel bata barov. Hey, si rabbi abar kana kumid rabbi yesi. So rabbi, right? Right, Barbar Cohen, it says here. As for Rabbi Yossi, the hot and Enon, didn't we learn? Kayetze boze se misuk. you have olives which were harvested the normal way, which got mixed up with olives which were left on the tree for poor people. Some of them got mixed up inadvertently. Now, the olives left on the tree for poor people, are they chayiv in trumas ma'asros? No. So they got mixed together. Inve batim, inve olulos. You have grapes which are harvested the normal way, which got mixed up with grapes which are left for poor people on the tree, on the vine. B'chulei. In both these cases, we say it's not bato. It's not bato. Ask, well, why isn't a bato v'lav tevel shnibam divreimu? Isn't it tevel which is so? Isn't it tevel to rabbanon? So says the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Mona. Rabbi Mona said, "Kempti." I resolve the question. Shemen zeisay misuk. It's talking about the olive oil the olive oil of olives which are normally harvested, sheisarivim shemen zeisay nikuv, which got mixed up with oil of olives which were left for the poor people. Now, the Gemara's kasha was on olives. Gemara's teretz goes on olive oils, olive oil. The obvious question is that trumas and maisos and olives is the raisa. So of course here the tevel should not be bought up barov, in fact, right? How can you say live tevel should not be divreimu? It's not the divreimu, it's the rabbana. It's the raisa because it's olives and grapes. So there's a sheet he brings down here. There's a sheet of the Ramban in Rabbeinu Yoina that made the raisa only the olive oil and grape juice is chayav, not regular olives or regular grapes. So that's why the question was olive oils and grape juice, olives and grapes, which only the rabbanon, the tevel should be bought, and we see it's not. The conclusion is it's talking about the oil and the wine, which is tevel d'oraisa, and that's why it's not bought. The thing is like this. That's the Rash Sirileo, however, is so bothered by this question of how do olives and grapes come to be the Rabbanon that he actually changes the shot here to make it in line with what the Kavanoghi said previously. That here the reason why the olives and grapes are exempt midaraisa is not because olives and grapes are exempt and only oil and grape juice is chayv, but rather because it's not nigmar melachta. So about olives which are intended to press and grapes which are intended to press, and therefore the Gemara melachta is only after pressing. And therefore, before pressing, it's not fully complete yet, and that's why it's bottle at that stage. Okay?
Well, most olives are grown for pressing.
Right. That'd be right. So most olives would not be truma d'oraisa until they're actually pressed. Okay? Right. Okay? Says Mara, you don't have this. Lizera Chayev. Yeah, you don't have that. I'm Rabbi Mona. Her mother said, Lo Shana Elazera. That's only if you replant the turnips and radishes to make seed. Or lechel, but if you replant the turnips and radishes in order to eat them when they grow again, potter. Why? Because, of course, there's no loss in that case. Because it's just getting recycled as food, not as seed. Achir Barba Bashera Yochan said, Lo Shana, makes no difference. Bein Lezera, Bein Lochel. Whether he planted them for the purpose of seed or food, it makes no ben lecho, makes no difference. Regardless, we say that you have to meister before you replant. Okay? Lo shayim ben zera ben lecho chayev. I left out the word chayev. Ask Maraki, say this. Vot ninam ibnei shugarnon. It says, when do I have to take off the trumasites from the turnips and radishes before I replant it? Only if this is the exclusive gorin they're going to have. This is the only time they're going to be gathered together as a pile of food. Later on, they're going to be seed. But in your case, they're going to be a food later on, right? So why take of trumas and maizes now? Take of the trumas and maizes later on. So Rabbi Chanina said, you know why? Sorry about a specific case here. The truth is, you're right. Avadi, you're right. That if you're going to replant them, it's definitely not going to be chayiv and trumas and maisers the first time around. I'm asking with you. You only take of trumas and maisers the second time around. So what do you mean to say? Ben lezer ben lecho chayiv. What do you mean to say? He meant to make a very specific halacha. He wanted to say that in a case where you planted them the first time in the second year, neshemach nisa min hasheni l'oni, The first time you plant them, you plant them in a Meiser Sheni year. The next time you plant them in a Meiser Oni year, so if I let you replant without tithing in the middle, the Levi is going to lose out. Not the Levi. The Yerushalayim is going to lose out. And vice versa. If you replant from a third year to a fourth year, then the poor person is going to lose out. So in that case, specifically, he meant to say, and only in that case, you have to Meiser before you replant. Where even where you're replanting for food, in that case you have to Meiser in the middle. Again, because otherwise somebody's going to lose because of the confluence of the years here. Okay? I don't know if confluence fit into that sentence properly. It was an improper use of an English vocabulary word. What?
It's okay.
It's not okay. Okay. Back to the Mishnah. V'tzalim sheishrishu. The last three words in the Mishnah, last three lines of Mishnah. V'tzalim sheishrishu baliyah. It's a funny case. You left your onions in your attic. So they took root in your attic. Okay, the attics actually had pitch between the attic and the first floor as the ceiling. So the onions actually took root in the ceiling, okay, between the floors. So taro milatami, they're no longer mitami because they're ready mechubar lekarka. They grew. However, and the Gemara is going.
When they say shrishu, that means literally roots came into a dirt or some kind of substance. That's because you can leave olives.
Yes. No. We're going to talk about that case. No, this is literally. It's supposed to the case you're talking about. We're going to talk about that too. Toru milatami, they're no longer tami. Now, it's interesting, we're going to pick up on this. It's very strange, because vis-a-vis Meiser and Shvi, you don't have to Meiser them again. And they retain whatever halacha shmita they had till now. Whatever year they were is the year they continue to be affiliated with. But vis-a-vis Tumantara, they lose their Tumantara. The one is going to learn out from Gzeres HaKosov that the parameters of Tumantara being planted vis-a-vis Tumantara are different than the parameters of being planted vis-a-vis Meiser and Shemitah. Okay, it's a fascinating concept. Nafleim HaPoilus, what happens if an avalanche fell on them? Your roof caved in, right? Avarein Megulin, and the upper leaves are still revealed. Harein Kedutu B'Sod, it's mamish like they're planted down the field in that case. It's mamish like they planted the field because they're covered by the avalanche and some of them is poking up. In that case, they're like replanted altogether and they lose any status of harvested. They're like fully new, fresh planted. Okay? To the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yechonon. You have just Rabbi Yechonon. Rabbi Yochanan Shem Rabbi Yanai said, Harei Moshe B'Tzoli. You got the place, Mr. Zuger? Mr. Zuger, you have it? Harei Moshe B'Tzoli M'Shir Shrisho. You have a pile of onions which took root. Hatolish Men B'Shabbos. Nonetheless, if you uproot from those onions on Shabbos, Potter, you're exempt. Why? Because V'Eino Reitze B'Shosh HaSonin. You don't want them to take root. In other words, says the Egle Tau, the Sokol Lover, says that you only is considered to be planting when you want something planted. If something takes root inadvertently, it's not planted. What? That's be a major right. It's a tremendous chid. It's a very difficult chiddush to say. Because then no weed should ever consider planted. But I guess it means where it originally was severed from the ground. It was like onions in a bag. Right? Not where it's weeds, which, you know, they regenerate on their own without your intervention. Do you understand what I'm saying? There has to be some sort of distinction, albeit tenuous, between onions and weeds, but there's got to be one, okay? But that's not look here. On Shabbos, your potter. Shane writes about your sauce. You don't want them there. On Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Shimon Lakish said, come on, give me a break, Rabbi Yechonon. My Ichbala, how can you copy Shabbos Gabi Meisers? Shabbos to Meisers? Meaning, how can you compare the two? They're not comparable at all, right? The truth is, he's not attacking Rabbi Yochanan so much because it seems Rabbi Yochanan was saying a brisa. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yanai was saying it's a brisa. So he says, how can you compare the two? By Meiser, perhaps has to do with whether you intend to plant it or not. And here he didn't intend to plant it. By Shabbat, this has to do inherently with the connection to the ground. And he brings out a very interesting halacha here, which I did not know. If you uproot a mushroom on Shabbos, so you're chayev chatos.
It does
grow on the ground.
It doesn't get
its nourishment from the ground. So you're saying kavachomer, if a mushroom, which grows from in the ground, even though it doesn't get its nourishment from the ground, is chayev. So certainly in this case, right, where it is getting its nourishment now from the ground, so it should be chayev, right? That's really part of Reish Lakish's kasha. So they said, you know what, Reish Lakish, nice question, but lemais, it's not just a brice, it's even a mishnah. V'lo kein ta'tani t'ninon. Didn't we learn in a mishnah, where's this mishnah? Kilaim. En o cheshish lo mishum kilaim. There's no problem of kilaim. V'lo mishum shmiz, nor shmita. V'lo mishum maisers, nor maiser. V'nitolim b'shabbos, t'ilatum on Shabbos. Now the cases like this, the case which we had in kilaim was where you had you're stirring. You all remember the case when I tell you. You're storing turnips on the ground. You're storing them on Shabbos. So the Gemara on Shabbos says, Gemara in a couple of places says that you're allowed to pick up the turnips by their leaves as long as the leaves are sticking up above the ground and remove them from the ground. They're not considered to be if they were completely covered over. You couldn't move them because of mukta. But if the leaves are sticking up, you can move them by the leaves. And there, the implication is you don't care even if they took root. Why don't you care? Because you didn't want them to take root. So we see, like Rabbi Yochanan, name Rabbi Yana, it's not just a brice, it's a mishnah. That on Shabbos, the parameters are different, right? Amar le Rabbi Zira Rabbi Avo, chabezim and beis at the top now. Rabbi Zira said to Rabbi Avo, chamei ma omar. Listen to what Reish Lakish really said. He didn't listen to him. Lo amar elamai ichtala Shabbos gabi maisrus. He wasn't asking on one second. Let me start the page again. So front topic called base on base again. Amalei Rabbi Zira Rabbi Avo. Chamei Me'amar. Listen to what Reish Lakish said. Lo amar elamai ichpula Shabbos gabi maisrus. All he said is, what's the comparison between Shabbos and maisr? Hashvi is ichpula. Rabbi Zira, it's a new sugya in Chol Beis Hamikdash. I was confused because I was trying to correlate it back to the previous one. He's asking a separate question. He's bringing up a separate issue. Amalei Zira Rabbi Avo, I come and see something which bothering me. Chamei my Omar. See what Reish Lakish said. I went back to the beginning of the page again. Lo amar elamayich b'la Shabbos gabi Meiser. See, he had a problem with the comparison between Shabbos and Meiser, which he just dealt with. But Hashvi Tzich b'la. Wait a minute. What happened to, he's saying a very big chiddush. He's saying that Shvius is the same parameters as Meiser. Shim Reitzaya Reitzaya Bashroshoson. If he wants them to take root in the ground, in the second floor, wherever, Shemasurim Shum Svichim, then when they regrow in the string of Shmiti year, they become Svichim of Shvius and they are prohibited. They become Shmiti growth are forbidden. Vim Lav, and if not, if he doesn't want them to regrow, Mutayim Mishum Svichim. Then they do not become svichim, even though they took root, and they remain permissible. So he says, look what happened by Shemitah. By Shemitah, Reish Lakish himself agrees. By Shabbos, he raised the ruckus. But by Shemitah, even Reish Lakish agrees that it all has to do with your das. If you want it rerooted, so then it gets the status of Shemitah fruit. If you don't want it rerooted, so then it doesn't get the status of Shemitah fruit. Says Maramele Rabbi Aishia. Rabbi Aisha said, Amalei Rabbi Maisha, Rabbi Zira, Maisha said to Rabbi Zira, V'doi the Rabba? That's the bigger Kiddush. The Kiddush by Shabbos is much bigger. But you're saying that by Shemitah, it's a big Kiddush? it's a much bigger Kiddush by Shemitah, by Shabbos. Because, by Shabbos, which as Reish Lakish is pointing out, that by Shabbos to say that you're exempt, by Chiyuv Skila, by Daraisa, Sfichim might only be the Rabbana, but Shabbos is definitely Daraisa. So that's a much bigger Chiddush. So the Doi the Rab again literally means, is this the bigger Chiddush? Shabbos is much bigger Chiddush. And says the Gemara, Ilutana, but Batzal Yechidi Yos. The truth is that if your thing, which you just brought up of Shemitah, you know what? Reish Lakish should be a Chiddush if it's talking about a single onion. Because in a single onion, I would say that that's Derech Zriah. Normally you plant single onions. So single onions that Shemitah shouldn't apply to it, when it takes root in the ground, that's a Chiddush. But it's not a big Chiddush when we're talking about a pile of onions. Because a pile of onions, it's not Derech to plant a pile of onions. So therefore, some of them took root. It's not such a big Chiddush to say that Shemitah doesn't take a hold of it. Because it's not considered to be Derech Zriah altogether. But by Shabbos, where it's not contingent on Derech Zriah, because we said mushrooms are the same status, so there, it's a much bigger Chiddush to say that you're exempt on Shabbos. So, what he's saying is that Rabbi Elzira pointed out by Shemitah, it's a big Chiddush. Shemitah has to do with Das. And that he said, it's not such a big Chiddush. Because Shemitah is the Shemitah, I look at whether it's considered planted or not, as people plant. And you could say that in our Rama, people generally don't have in mind to plant a whole pile. So therefore, it could be that it's not exempt from Shemitah, even if it took root during Shemitah. But Shabbos has nothing to do with that. Has to do with absolutes. Right? It's not subjective, it's objective. Is it connected to the ground or not connected to the ground? Then this is connected to the ground. So therefore, in this case, to say that Shabbos still does not apply, that is the biggest Chiddush of all. Okay?
Something is grown hydroponically, so we know for Shemitah it's exempt for Shemitah.
Also for Shabbos.
For Shabbos too, you can uproot it?
Yeah, I mean the rice, not the rabbana. There's a set... Yes. Okay, not the rabbana, because you're taking it out of its sustenance. But the rice it could, because the rice only has to do with the ground. Okay, Tanya, we went to the brisa, but solim shish rishu, onions which took root, the kupa, in a box. Now you don't have these words, I think. Zebazet, do you have zebazet? Yeah, that's important. This is a case similar to what you said before. There's no dirt in the box. They're only onions. So the onions, where do the roots of the onions go? Into each other. They grew roots and the roots penetrated the other onion. So of course that's meaningless. Harei mechaz kosan lemaisu shvius. They retained the old character by maisu shvius, which we could have guessed. But not only that, vimei utmeim, but they were tomei lo lumi dei tumas, and they still retained their tuma. Because they didn't take root in it. What? Right, it's nothing, it's meaningless. Yishishu ba'aliyo, if they took root in the second floor, as we mentioned in Mishnah, harei mechaz kosan lemaisu shvius, they still have the status, their old status vis-a-vis Meister and Shvi'is. But Ima Yutzmeim, if they're a Tomei, only they must lose the status of Tumah. Now, because this is a contradiction, this is a paradoxical. Because Kosan, on the one hand, you say vis-a-vis Trumus, Shemitah, and Meister, they retain their previous status. But Tomah, yet on the other side, you say that they lose the status of Tumah. How could that be? One should be contingent on the other. Says more than not. Rabbi Ezim Shem Rabbi Ilo said, Hatoya Ribsa Betara Zroim. The Torah said that Zroim are very, very mutter. What does it mean, Zroim very, very mutter? No matter how they're planted, even to a very minor extent, that's sufficient. How do we know that? Because it says, my time of what's supposed to teach us is that, Kipom in Ivlosom, Ha'akol Zera Zerua Asher Yizareh. I know you don't have the end of the pasuk there. But it says, Zera Zerua Asher Yizareh. Any way in which it can be planted, even the most remote way of planting, that's already considered to be planting. So therefore, the parameters of what's considered to be planted, vis-a-vis Tumah, and taking off Tumah, are much more lenient than those vis-a-vis any other area of Allah, including status vis-a-vis Maitre and Shemitah. Okay? Again, Zeres HaKosov. Tanya, we learned. Lo Yitlosh. This is the same case we're talking about before. You shouldn't, if your pile of onions took root on Shabbos, so you shouldn't pluck it out. However, v'tolash, what happens if you did transgress and pluck it out? Is tanotani, there's some tanoim who learn chayev. We stone you. These tani mutter. There's some who say go ahead and do l'chatchila. Go right ahead. So the Gemara raises its eyebrows too, not just you. That's more. There's a funny language. Reb Chaim Kanievsky explains this. He brings down Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Ma damar chayev. If one guy said chayev, here it's not the person who said chayev, but rather if one person said chayev, then what should be the other person's opinion? Potter. If one person said usher, then what should the other person's opinion be? Mutter. In other words, we never find polar machloksim like this. That one person says chayev and the other person says mutter. It always goes down one notch, not two. So if one person said chayev, the other person should say potter avaloser. If one person said potter avaloser, then the other person could have said mutter. And the Gemara is saying you have to amend the machlokas in that way. Nicha, so it's all one, it should be manamar chai potter osar mutter nicha. That would make sense. But the way it's written doesn't make sense. So it says, mar lo tsurcha da ella. It says da lo, but it's da ella. It's not a question. Rather, you should say, da ella means don't say this, rather, mutter. Taka, one person says mutter and the other person says osar. Rabbi Shimon Lo says no. That's Rabbi Yechonah. That really is consistent with Rabbi Yochanan before, because Rabbi Yochanan is the one who said that this is not considered to be planted vis-a-vis Shabbos. Reish Lakish, who asked him, Rabbi Yochanan, how can you copy the halachas of Maaser to Shemitah? So he taka changed the gears in the other direction. It says one opinion says Chayev, and the other opinion holds Potter Avolah. Mishabo Lona Samaisers, once they've reached the period in which they could be Maaser, Elo Lamishan, let me share your name on Maisus to somebody who's not believed on Maisus because of Leif Neiver. Love Shmiz and Shmiz and out to say fruit drink Shmita. Let me show Choshar Shmiz, somebody who's suspect on Shmiz, again because of Leif Neiver, because he might use it for illicit purposes. Vim Bichru. What happens if they already started growing stuff in the fields? Right? Stuff which is, which is suitable to be meisered, and other stuff is still less than that. Noita so b'chayrus, you take the stuff which is raised for meiser, you harvest it. You can sell the rest, which is still premature. Similarly, loyim karadam is tivno. A person is finished threshing his straw, but he sells it to somebody who's going to thresh it again. That could get out whatever is really left in the straw. Veskaposo. Person also has olives, which he's already squeezed the oil out of, but he sells somebody else going to squeeze it out again. Vezagov is grape skins. He already squeezed out, sells it somebody who's going to squeeze him out a second time. You shouldn't do the Misha Eno Naman ala Maestros to somebody who's not credible on Maestros. Lotim and Marshka, these should get out the beverages or the grain again because they're not going to Maestros. Probably it's Leif Neiver. Vim Hotzi, because if they do produce grape juice or olive oil or grain the second time around, chayav him a meiser. You have to take a meiser off of them. However, pturim mina truma. But on the second time around, it's exempt from truma. Why is that? Because truma has no specific shear midoraisa, right? So they have a shatayim, but toyim, the guy took off truma on the first time, if it's this guy or a different guy, doesn't make a difference. When take off truma the first time on the first batch, believe what we had in mind, ala koitim, on those which are threshed or pressed, while studying whatever's left on the side, and everything which is still inside the straw. So therefore, truma works the first time for all cycles of squeezing and usage afterwards. Meiser, each time you squeeze out a little bit more, you got to meiser a little bit more. Okay? That's why it's lifta iver. If you give it at any stage, so a person's not going to take off the miser once he squeezes it out another time. Okay, let's go to the Gemara. Kini Masdisa. This is the way to read the Gemara, the Mishnah. Lo yimkor adam sadehu. It's talking about even if you don't want to sell your field. No, it's fruit for shteitzach. Obviously, you can't sell to a person who's suspect on miser, but you can't even sell your field. You can't even sell your field. Tana Rishim Matir, Rishim Mitzvah Matir, Bibnei Shuoi Mer, because he says, Hare Mechati Yeshali, I sold my stuff. He says to the Kohanim and Levim, I sold my stuff. I didn't cause you any deprivation. Now it's your turn. Say, go out yourselves, Utva Shachon, go and demand your own, go and demand your Trumus and Maisus. Now, this is a very important halacha. We pasuk this way, Tzitzel Yezer brings this down, that in matters of sale, there's no issue of lif neiver.
There is no
issue of lif neiver. It's only in giving. In giving something to somebody, there's lif neiver. In selling, you're not responsible for what he does with it after he takes it.
This is for any sale, or is it only trumas and maaser?
Any sale.
Oh, like,
don't say that in Chicago.
Can a Jewish merchant sell a suit that has shatnas into a Jew?
That's different. That's not because of lif neiver. You're not allowed to do schayra in shatnas. You're not allowed to get any andor from shatnas. Okay, it's avera to buy and sell shatnas. That's a separate issur. But lif neiver is only if you dover amutter. You take and you sell it to somebody. You sell a house to a non-religious Jew. So he's going to use the house to turn on lights on Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? Yeah. How's that permissible? It's lif neiver, right? So what? It's still the best amateur to drive it down say the over Avera, but not it should still be usur, right? So the thing is to sell something which has a mutter purpose. To somebody who might later on do something also with it, the Tzitz Eliezer says, the others, possibly as well, and they probably derive it from this Gemara, ultimately, that's okay. Just like here, I'm selling my field. What happens afterwards, that's the other guy's cheshbon. When I give, so that's called, what's it called in English? What? Abetting, aiding and abetting, right? When I give, there's a better word for it, but I can't even. What?
Accomplice?
Yeah, no, accomplice is not too strong a word. There's a better word, but I can't read. Enabling. That's enabling. Okay, but here I'm not enabling, I'm selling. It's a different parameter in halacha. Okay? It's a fine line, but it is a line. We agree on that, or we just skeptical?
No, I'm just thinking about the sale of a Mizrahi building.
That was a separate issue. Now they sell a shul to be a church.
But they're heterim for that in terms of doing through a third party or something like that.
They're not heterim. Rav Moshe says they're not heterim because they're haroma nikeres.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're supposed to destroy shuls as you leave them. It's like a beautiful building. Still there. It looks very nice. Yeah. That now I have to say that actually now since it's a church.
Right.
Forgot that.
So, they told me they just came back from Prague.
Yeah.
And there were a number of shuls that were destroyed after the communists took over.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they were going to make use of factories.
The factories are okay.
The communists destroyed
communists, yes.
But Bnei Reuven, when they moved out of the west side, they destroyed their own building. Because of this reason, to their everlasting credit, there are very few shuls which actually did that.
Well, they destroyed their shul?
Yeah, they destroyed it. They knocked it down. Yeah, for this reason. Okay? It's a terrible chul Hashem. You go down there and see what's going on. All right. Avramachar, you transgressed. Sold. Maaser mashu ochel. You have to estimate what this is not like Rosh Hashanah. Of course, Rosh Hashanah says you're allowed to sell, right? But according to Rabbanu, you're not allowed to sell. So Avraham Mocher maaser mashu ochel. You have to estimate how much the buyer is going to eat and maaser for him. Veinu meiser mashu loke moicher. You don't have the meiser what the buyer is going to sell to others. Veinu nu achroin l'ramoy, because we're not responsible for tricksters, meaning sinners. In other words, lif neiver was only to the guy who you sold, but not to the guy to whom he's going to sell. That's no longer your achrayus. So it seems to be an arbitrary cutoff point, but it is, I guess you have to have some cutoff points. It's only the person who I immediately facilitate is aver, not anybody else down the line. Okay? Now, go further, Mishnah says that if the second guy threshed again or did whatever again, so he der chayiv and truma sumaisus, right? So tani lo yitrom, so der chayiv meiser, not truma. Tani lo yitrom, since the first truma worked for all the cycles of pressing, you shouldn't take truma the second time round. Of Arvitorum, what if he did take off Truma, nonetheless? Right, Brachi Omari Yofi Koicho, Kizunte, the more Truma the merrier. Rabbi Mona said, no, Lo Yofi Koicho, it's not Kizunte, the more the merrier, it's bad. Also, Truma Shumarvish Tobel's the Meiser, because the second Truma you took off is really Tevel vis-a-vis Meiser. Why is it Tevel vis-a-vis Meiser? Because already all the Truma which would have to be taken off was taken off the first time. So this is not bona fide truma. So this truma really is fake truma. If it's fake truma, it must be meisered in order for the kohen to be allowed to eat it. So this is a problem. The second truma is a bad thing. Okay. Rabbi Hanania, chavin d'rabbanan. Rabbi Hanania, the friend of the rabbis. Boy, he asked. Torem echad mishishim. If somebody took truma 1/60th. Shu echad mishishim ve'echad alakitin. It's not, so it's 1/60th to begin with. But if you take into account the recycling, the pressing cycles, or the second threshing cycle, then it's only 1/61st, not 1/60th. So it's less than the parameter Rabbanan gave or generally gave. So Torah Echem Mishishim Shu Echem Mishishim Vechad Al Kitim Vaalat Stodim on the stuff which is done the second time, about Sodom and the stuff which gets scattered after the first time, Mashtochtev and stuff which is going to be threshed the second time in the straw, is that permissible? What's that halacha? Can he redo it again? Rabbi Yezer, he said, no, can't, because our Mishnah says, Shatayim, when the first time around he takes the truma, even though it can, turns out in the end to be less than a 60th, that already suffices. Ala koitim he had in mind, or basically at least has in mind for him. On the koitim, that which gets cut off or recycled, the bottom line is, what's the klum sricha el b'yeser? What's the chiddush that it works? The chiddush is that even if it comes out to be more, meaning in this case less, in other words, it's less than 1/60th, nonetheless it works. Because the 1/60th is the shir of the rabbana. I mean, the rice of mashu is enough. So that's what the rabbi said, that even if the 1/60th, which you have to have, only pertains to the first cycle. Even if the later cycles make it less, it's still that sufficient, and therefore it's bad to take off truma later on again. Okay? Halacha Beis, back to the Mishnah. Halokeach saw the Yerek. This is back in Chof Gimel, still on Chof Gimel, on Chof Gimel Amral. Halokeach saw the Yerek, you saw the Yerek. Even if you take a vegetable by a vegetable field, certainly a fruit field, which is more a chayim and shumas midaraisa, right? But you bought a vegetable field in Syria. If you took it before it grew a third or whatever the shear is, depending on what the vegetable fruit is, then you're chayv. If you bought it after it reached onas ha-maisrus, where it already became mature under the goy's regime, potter, it's exempt. You yourself can go and collect, but not, you can't hire workers. Just as a to remind you that you got away with a big loophole here. Rabbi Lomer Afi Skor Palimikle. We don't have to remind you got away with the loophole. So therefore, you can even hire workers and collect with, you know, make a massive harvest of the field, despite the fact you're going to be exempt from mice at the end of the day. Arshagamliel said by Medvar Muyim, when is this true? Bisman Shekona Karka, when you acquired land. Avazman Shelo Kona Karka, but if you just bought the fruit itself, Even though he just brought the fruit before it grew to us, even though he bought it before it grew to be chayiv and meiser, and became chayiv and meiser on your watch, potter. Because you have to own land in order to be chayiv and meiser. And here he didn't own the land. Okay? You just bought the fruit. Rabbi Omer Aflofi Chesh, but Rabbi argues in our Mishnah. Rabbi says, even if you bought it after it grew a third, say it grows in your possession, the remaining two thirds. So you have to give two thirds of meiser. Right? If it grows in your hand, a quarter of the growth, you have to give a quarter of the crop as meiser. Everything is relative to the amount of time that you had it and the amount of growth which happened on your watch. Okay, is that clear? Back to the bottom of Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, the second to last line. Last line, actually. Tani, we learned. Sada Shevi Ashlish, a field which grew a third leaf Negoi, Lekacha Mimeno Yisrael, and then the Jew acquired it. Rabbi Akiva Omer Tosef as Potter. Rabbi Akiva says whatever it adds on is exempt. Whatever it adds on is chayev, like Rabbi in our Mishnah. Rabbi Avina Ula Bar Shmuel B'Shem Rabbi Loza said, "Av Chachamim lo chivu at Tosef sel shavar." But a very interesting thing: even Chachamim who said that whatever grows on your watch, you have to take Meiser corresponding to that proportion, is El Shav is only on the past. Meaning, let's say it grew a third in a second year. Shema Yosheni Sheni, it grew a third in a year, which is regular Meiser Sheni. And then you acquired it in a Meiser Shlishi year. So the two thirds which grew on your watch, but in a different year than the third which grew and made a chayv of Meiser. So yes, you have to give proportionally two thirds of the Meiser, but you give it as Meiser Sheni, not as Meiser Oni. And so too, Oni. If you acquired it in the third year and had grown already, let's say, just to change up, a half in the goy's possession, and then it grows another half in your possession, so you have to give true Musumaisis corresponding to your half share. But you give it not based on the fourth year, which is Maisur Shani, but on the third year based on Maisur Ani, because that's what determines its Maisur quotient. All right, we'll have to stop here for tonight. Can we start 15 minutes early on Monday? You guys willing to start 15 minutes early? Okay. I don't think we'll finish anyway on Monday.
Is Rav Shimon Gamaliel's case, does he say his halacha a sharecropper? Would he say the same thing?
The selling to the sharecropper?
Because the sharecropper is not buying the land. He's not buying the
food. No, he's not buying. He's an employee. Won't work in that case.